Colossians, the second chapter. And we'll begin tonight in verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You may notice it appears that there was a theme change right there in that 11th verse, because the first 10 verses, as a matter of fact, the theme of this whole second chapter is the fact that we are in Christ. And of course, as usual, Christ is the center, but the theme is the fact that we are in Christ, begun in verse 3, in whom are hidden, and in verse 5, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. And verse 11 continues this theme, in whom ye are circumcised. So the theme is still the fact that we are in Christ, and the theme is not the cross, but the Christ in whom we have been circumcised. Christ is still the center, and the fact that we are in him. But the subject begins to center more on the cross and on the work of the cross, the circumcision that Christ performed, and it is only in him that it was performed. As I was looking at these scriptures, I began to realize the subject of circumcision, there's really no New Testament teaching on it. I think there's one other scripture that says ye are the circumcision, but there's no other teaching in the New Testament. And so it took me back and turned with me to Genesis, the 17th chapter, where circumcision was first instituted with Abraham. There had been many things established with Abraham, but at this point in Genesis 17, beginning in verse 9, the Lord institutes the rite, I guess you'd call it, of circumcision. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger who is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So the Lord institutes circumcision, and as we read there in Colossians, there's more to it than just the fact that of a few verses. And here we find the foundation of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. We begin to see that the covenant is centered around circumcision, and that you know, the Jews, when they went proselyting and trying to get people to become Jews, they went out, and the sign that they were now Jews was the fact that they'd have to be circumcised. And there was a big fight in the book of Acts where Paul said you don't have to be circumcised to be a Christian. And of course he says now circumcision and uncircumcision availeth not anything but a new creature. And so all that comes back to this first day when the Lord appeared to Abraham and instituted it. And in verse 10, this is my covenant. He didn't say this is going to be about the covenant. He says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Two little dots there. And then every man child among you shall be circumcised. This is the covenant. Everyone shall be circumcised. Well, just like the Jews, what they did was they got all caught up in the circumcision of the foreskin, and they got all carried away with that, but they misinterpreted, once again, the Scriptures. They went to the Scriptures, and they didn't see the truth there, because if you read on, the next verse says, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token or a sign of the covenant. You see, the cutting away of the foreskin, the flesh of the foreskin, is nothing more than the sign of the covenant. It's not the covenant. The covenant is in verse 10, this is my covenant, every man child among you shall be circumcised. That's the covenant. And here's the sign of that covenant. The foreskin shall be cut away. Two different things altogether between the covenant and the sign of the covenant. Just like the Lord made a covenant with Noah. And he said, this shall be the token or the sign of the covenant. And he gave him the rainbow. Well, the rainbow wasn't a covenant. Nobody goes around saying, well, everybody got to have a rainbow. Let's all go out and get us a rainbow. Or every time you see a rainbow, let's sit down and start worshiping or something. The covenant was the fact that everyone had to be circumcised. The sign of that covenant was the cutting away of the foreskin. Now, any circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh. Whether it be the Old Testament circumcision or the New Testament circumcision, the circumcision is the taking away of the flesh. And God, when He instituted it, wasn't ignorant. He wasn't just doing this, you know, well, what can I do to have a sign here? What can I do? He knew when he began that, he said, this is going to be a sign of it, but the truth of the covenant is everybody's going to have to be circumcised, because if you're not, then you have no part. You've broken my covenant. If there's no circumcision, there's no covenant relationship. If there's no circumcision, I don't have anything to do with you. If there's no circumcision, then there's no need even approaching me, because I won't look at you. And that played a major part in the role of Israel. You know, I remember when Goliath came out to fight against Israel, you know, and he came out there and he stood and challenged them, and everybody was afraid, and little David come walking up and he said, what's going on here? He said, that big old Philistine out there, that Goliath, he come out here to challenge us. And he's, you know, about three times our size, and nobody wants to fight him. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, he don't mean anything. He can't stand before the Lord. He said, a bear came against the flock once, and I just took my sling and killed him. A lion came against the flock. So this Goliath is coming against the flock too. He no different than that bear, the lion. They're all uncircumcised. They're all outside of the covenant. They're all outside of the life. They're all outside of the relationship that I have with God. And he said, I'm not going to stand here and watch that guy run everybody off. I'm not going to stand here and have him chase the flock off. I'm not going to do that. I'll go out there and fight him. And he did that on the basis of the knowledge of the circumcision and the covenant that God had. He knew that that man was not circumcised, and he could not stand against the truth. He could not stand it. There was no way that I don't care how big he is and how terrible the problem looked and how bad and how many people were afraid and how upset everybody was. I don't care how bad it looked. The fact is, and when you look the Lord straight in the face and you understand His Word, you understand there's no way He can stand. He's not circumcised and He's already defeated. He's cut off. And the circumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off. Well, it's just like Satan. He's a defeated foe. He's just as defeated as he can be. A lot of people running from the devil. And the judgment is already upon him. He's already defeated. God's just going to wrap it all up in the end, but it's over with. As far as God's concerned, He's not worried about the devil now. A lot of Christians run around worried about the devil. I don't see any reason for that. But the covenant, because of the covenant, there is nobody that can stand against you. And he says in verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. It's just a fact that an 8-day-old child cannot circumcise himself. You know? He can't do it himself. He's just 8 days old. But the covenant calls for the circumcision to take place. For a circumcision to take place. And he can't do it himself. It's kind of like us in Adam. You know, the scriptures say there in Colossians, we read, dead, we are dead in our sins. Not talking about the cross, but the fact that we are dead. We have the sentence of death in us because that old nature is in there. We are dead and there is no way, there is no possible way that you can circumcise the flesh. You are the flesh. I am the flesh. And there's not anything you and I can do about our state in Adam, in sin, in the flesh. There is nothing that we can do. We are dead in sin, the scriptures say. We are by nature the children of wrath. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, in iniquity was I born. There's not a thing you and I can do, and yet the Word of God comes and says you must be circumcised. You must be circumcised. Well, a little bitty old 8-day-old child, there's not a thing he can do. It takes the Father. It takes the Father. It takes the operation of God. Without the operation of God, we'll continue in our state. Whether we claim to be a Christian or not, the flesh is not cut off. And that's one thing we need to understand. The circumcision deals with one thing, deals with the cutting off of the flesh. Not the new birth. He's already born again. I mean, he's already born. He's 8 days old. Keep getting the two mixed up here. He's already born. He's 8 days old. He don't need to be born. He don't need to be joined in the family. He's in the family. He's a member. He's just as much a member as the daddy. But he needs the flesh cut off. Well, that's true of you and I. Even more so. If the Father did not cut off the flesh, then that child would be cut off from the nation, from the family. I don't care how high up the father was. If he was the king's son, he could be the greatest man that ever came along. And if that child is not, his flesh is not cut off, he's not one of the children of Israel. He's not in the family. He's not in a covenant relationship with the Lord, and he'll not stand in that nation. He'll not be in Christ. So a circumcision has to take place. The Father has to come along and do the work has to cut off the flesh. Well, the flesh, let's say that child, now he's 8 days old, and I can see the father cut off the flesh and say, now let me explain this to you. You need to understand what's happened here. You know, he's not paying any attention. All he knows is I want milk, and he's not ready for too much deep stuff yet. All he can drink is milk. But there comes a day when the child begins to mature. The child begins to grow. The child begins to come into more of a relationship with the Father and the nation. And he is taken and he is told, he is sat down and it is explained to him about the circumcision that has already taken place. And he begins to realize, hey, this isn't something that's happening right now. This is something that was already done. The flesh was already cut off. He begins to realize some truth. He begins to come into some knowledge, not of what's happening to him, but of what's already happening to him, happened to him, and of the life and the relationship and the family and the promise of God that he has already. He's not trying to get all these things. He's not trying to go out and grab them. He's just found out that he's got them. They're his in Christ, in the family. And so he's just, what he's doing is learning what already happened to him. He's in a process of learning what already took place. He didn't do it. He probably tried to do it. He probably tried to, you know, he probably tried to act spiritual and act like this was his and that was his, but he didn't understand what it was until he got mature enough and the father sat him down and began to explain a few things to him. And then all those things found their significance in the proper relationship and according to the operation of God. Everything began to make sense. Why, before I was trying to cut off the flesh and I just figured it out. It's already been cut off. But we get all wrapped up in our lives instead of wrapped up in Christ. Get all wrapped up in wanting to know how to figure this out. And if I can just overcome this problem, we get all wrapped up down here on the earth. Caught up in what's going on down here, and we don't realize this. We don't realize the circumcision, the cross, and we don't realize the relationship that we already have. And so we spend all of our time running around here trying to get this thing settled. Back in Colossians, the wording there, as I've really enjoyed the wording in this chapter, in whom ye are circumcised. Didn't say you did it. Didn't say you are circumcised. It says in whom? In Christ. Thank God. Jesus. Thank God. Jesus died. And we in him. But he died. And Paul understood that Christ died. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth. You see, he understands Christ died and me in him, and now I must reckon on that circumcision. I must reckon myself dead. I'm not trying to die, and I'm not trying to circumcise the flesh. And I'm not battling with all the things I'm battling with, and I'm not all caught up and all. I am reckoning, I am coming. The Father has set me aside, has pulled me up close, and has begun to talk to me and explain a few things, and I'm beginning to realize that it's all right here in the circumcision. And I was all down here on the earth. I was all motivated down here and caught up in what's down here. And I never realized that there was such a place called in Christ. I knew there was a Jesus, but I didn't know I was in Him, and I didn't really realize a whole lot of things. I certainly didn't realize the circumcision, that the flesh has been cut off already, because I've ignorantly wandered around trying to do it myself. And the fact is, it is cut off, but I suppose we could say, to the degree that I know the cross is the degree that the flesh is cut off, you see. Because as far as the Lord is concerned, and as far as the circumcision, the flesh is cut off. It is cut off. It's cut off. But there are degrees of knowledge, and once again, I suppose we could say, to the degree that I understand the cross is the degree that I'm dead. Because you see, just, you know, Jesus died. Now, I am supposed to reckon myself dead. So to the degree I understand the cross is the degree that I am dead. And I would venture to say that I've scratched a little bit of the surface of the cross, but oh, the depth. You see, I'm not just trying to see, though. Now, the circumcision at this point is definitely dealing with the cutting off of the flesh. But my motivation isn't just trying to get rid of the old flesh, but to put on Christ, to know the Lord, to be found in Him, that it might be Christ. And to the degree I know the death is the degree that Christ is risen, in whom also ye are circumcised. Ye are circumcised. Ye are circumcised. We keep dealing with the problems of a dead man. You know that? We're always trying to fool with the problems of a dead man. Ye, in whom ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him. You know, if the flesh wasn't buried, I have a feeling we'd just sit around and glory in dead flesh. It's a good reason for the flesh to be put away, so you can forget about it. You see? That's why I don't like these great leaders that are putting these glass caskets and left in some great thing where everybody can keep coming through, you know? They come walking through and everybody spends a lot, you know, everybody remembers the dead flesh. Everybody's glorying in the flesh. That's dead, you know? It's, you know, everybody's all wrapped up in that. The flesh is not supposed to be set out in a big display. God's always planned for the flesh to be buried and put away and forgotten. We keep messing with the flesh, you know. Somebody goes up and gets their little urn and opens it up and plays with the ashes, you know, and it's dead. It's dead and it's gone. That's kind of morbid, isn't it? But that, you know, we start dealing with the flesh. You know, and I guess we're probably worse spiritually than we are in the natural. Because people are always dealing with the problems of the flesh. And it's dead, it's circumcised, it's crucified, and Christ is risen. Buried with Him in baptism, in which also ye are risen. But you're not just risen automatically because you were born into the family, or you're not just risen because you were raised. You are risen for a reason. Risen in a certain manner. Risen with Him through the faith. The resurrection is a result of the coming of faith in you and I, experientially. The resurrection is a result. With the coming of faith, God sends forth His Son, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ, risen with Him through the faith. But it's not just any old faith. It's not just the faith that there's a God, for the devils believe there's a God. They even go a little further, and some I know, they tremble. You know, it's not just believe the faith that there's a God. It's not just the faith that there's this or that. It is the faith of the operation of God. You see, you're not just risen automatically. It is risen through the faith of the operation of God. Now, I can think of one other place where God performed an operation. It's back in Genesis. Keep your place in Colossians. But in Genesis, the second chapter, God performed an operation. Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Well, scripture searchers, that should just be like a pinball machine lighting up. For Jesus said, "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Every time I see that word, it just tells me you better go to the cross. Or the cross is fixing to be forthcoming. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It is not good that we be without the cross, but man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep." And in looking it up, the book I looked it up in, he wasn't even teaching. He was just giving the Greek on it. And he said, a deep sleep to the point of death. The Lord God caused a deep sleep, a death, to fall upon Adam, and he slept. You know, and Jesus said that. They said, well, Lazarus is dead, you know. And he said, well, he sleeps, you know. He's asleep. And they say, well, what? He's asleep. So finally, he says, well, your terminology, he's dead, but I'm telling you, he's asleep. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Here's the operation that God performs, the great physician. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her forth unto the man. I realized, you know, I began to realize that the woman was not made from the dust of the earth. The man was. The church was not made from the dust of the earth, but out of Christ, from out of Him, through the operation of God, the church was brought forth. There was no church before the cross. It was through that operation of God, you see, and the woman wasn't made from dust. She was bone of his bone, not dust. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God's operation, the operation of God, made it so. And I was looking at all that and thinking about that and thinking, you know, that's what happened. She wasn't dust, and the church isn't dust, but bone of his bone. Verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Back to Colossians. Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him. All of a sudden, I began to realize an operation has taken place of circumcision. An operation has taken place. My Lord, I once dwelled and walked down here and all caught up in this down here in my own life and trying to straighten out my own life and dealing with my little problems and this and that. And all of a sudden I realized an operation took place. A cutting off forever the flesh. And as I thought about that, you know, for the first time you begin to realize, you begin to rejoice. You know, before it was always, oh, praise God, thank God, I am raised with Christ. I'm resurrected. I'm raised with Jesus. I'm a son of God. I'm this and that. I'm raised. And boy, I've heard that and I've said it many a time. I'm raised with Him. But all of a sudden, with the reality of this, that the circumcision took place, the Scriptures then went on to say, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And all of a sudden I quit rejoicing in the fact that I was raised, because I realized that Jesus was raised. And I started rejoicing in the fact an operation took place. The flesh was cut off. He didn't raise uncircumcised flesh. He cut it off. Jesus solved the sin problem, if you want to put it like that. The problem with flesh.